The world was ever burning, but it was actually heated. But we're closing ourselves in the royal water. At that time, the whole world became superb, and the predominating deity of this earth, known as Muni, was the great Lord Brahma. Muni assumed the shape of a cow and presented herself before Lord Brahma with tears in her eyes. She was bemused and was weeping just to invoke the Lord's compassion. She related the calamitous position of the earth, and after hearing this, Lord Brahma became much aggrieved. He at once started for the ocean of milk, where Lord Vishnu resides. Lord Brahma was accompanied by all the demigods, headed by Lord Shiva, and Bhumi also followed. Arriving on the shore of the milk ocean, Lord Brahma began to pacify the Lord Vishnu, who formerly saved the earthly planet by assuming the transcendental form of a boar. In the Vedic mantras, there is a particular type of prayer called a Purusha Sukta. Generally, the demigods offer their obeisances of the Lord Vishnu, the supreme personality of Godhead, by chanting the Purusha Sukta. It is understood herein that the predominating deity of every planet can see the supreme lord of this universe, Brahma, whenever there is some disturbance in his planet. And Brahma can approach the supreme lord, Vishnu, not by seeing him directly, but by standing on the shore of the ocean of milk. There is a planet within this universe called Svetadweep, and on that planet there is an ocean of milk. It is understood from various Vedic literatures that just as there is an ocean of salt water within this planet, there are various kinds of oceans in other planets. Somewhere there is an ocean of milk. Somewhere there is an ocean of oil, and somewhere there is an ocean of liquor, and many other types of oceans. Purusha Sukta is the standard prayer which the demigods recite to appease the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hiridoksha Yudhishthira. Because he is lying on the ocean of milk, Because he is lying on the ocean of milk, he is called Hiridoksha Yudhishthira. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to whom all the incarnations within this universe appear. After all the demigods offered the Purusha Sukta prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they apparently heard no response. Then Lord Brahma personally sat in meditation, and there was a message transmission from Lord Vishnu to Brahma. Brahma then broadcast the message to the demigods. That is the system of receiving Vedic literature. The Vedic knowledge is received first by Brahma from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of the heart. As stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Tena Brahma Vidya. The standard knowledge of the Vedas was transmitted to Lord Brahma through the heart. Here also, in the same way, only Brahma could understand the message transmitted by Lord Vishnu. And he broadcast it to the demigods for their immediate action. The message was, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear on the earth very soon along with his supreme powerful potencies. And as long as he remains on this earth, planet, to execute his mission of annihilating the demons and establishing the devotees,
The demigods should also remain there to assist him. They should all immediately take birth in the families of the Jati dynasty, wherein the Lord will also appear in due course of time. The Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Krishna, personally appeared as the son of Vasudeva. Before he appeared, all the demigods, just to assist the Lord in the execution of his mission, took birth in the various pious families of the world. The exact word used here is Tatkriyatapyam, which means the demigods should appear on the earth in order to please the Lord. In other words, any living entity who lives only to satisfy the Lord is a demigod. The demigods were further informed that the plenary portion of Lord Krishna, Ananta, who is maintaining the universal planets by extending his millions of hoods, would also appear on the earth just before Lord Krishna's appearance. They were also informed that the external potency of Vishnu, Maya, with whom all the conditioned souls are enamored, would also appear just to execute the purpose of the Supreme Lord. After instructing and pacifying all the demigods, as well as Bhumi, with sweet words, Lord Brahma, the father of all Prajapatis or progenitors of universal population, departed for his own abode, the highest material planet called Brahmaloka. The leader of the Jatu dynasty, King Surasena, was ruling over the country known as Mathura, the district of Mathura, as well as the district known as Surasena. On account of the rule of King Surasena, Mathura became the capital of all the kings of the Jatus. Mathura was also made the capital of the kings of the Jatu dynasty because the Jatus were a very pious family and knew that Mathura is the place where Lord Sri Krishna lives eternally, just as he also lives in Dwarka. Once upon a time, Vasudeva, the son of Surasena, just after marrying Devaki, was going home on the chariot with his newly wedded wife. The father of Devaki, known as Devaka, had contributed a sufficient dowry because he was very affectionate toward his daughter. He had contributed hundreds of chariots completely decorated with gold equipment. At that time, Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena, in order to please his sister Devaki, had voluntarily taken the reins of the horses of Vasudeva's chariot and was driving. According to the custom of Vedic civilization, when a girl is married, the brother takes the sister and brother-in-law to their new home. Because the newly married girl may feel too much separation from her father's family, the brother goes with her until she reaches her father-in-law's house. The full dowry contributed by Devaka was as follows: 400 elephants fully decorated with golden garlands, 15,000 decorated horses, and 18,000 chariots. He also arranged for 200 beautiful girls to follow his daughter. The Kshatriya system of marriage, still current in India, dictates that when a Kshatriya is married, a few dozen of the bride's young girlfriends, in addition to the bride, go to the home of the king. The followers of the queen are called maidservants, but actually they act as friends to the queen. This practice is prevalent from time immemorial, principal at least to the time before the advent of Lord Krishna 5,000 years ago. So Vasudeva brought home another 200 beautiful girls along with his wife. While the bride and bridegroom were passing along on the chariot, there were different kinds of musical instruments playing to indicate the auspicious moment. There were conch shells, bugles, drums, and kettle drums combined together. They were making a very nice concert. The procession was passing very quite pleasingly, and Kamsa was driving the chariot when suddenly there was a miraculous sound vibrating from the sky, which especially announced to Kamsa, "Kamsa, you are such a fool. You are driving the chariot of your sister and your brother-in-law, but you do not know that the eighth child of this sister will kill you." Kamsa was the son of Ugrasena of the Bhoja dynasty. It is said that Kamsa was the most demoniac king of the whole Bhoja dynasty king. Immediately after hearing the prophecy from the sky, he caught hold of Devaki's hair and was just about to kill her with his sword. Vasudeva was astonished at Kamsa's behavior, and in order to pacify the cruel, shameless brother-in-law, he began to speak as follows. With great reason and evidence. He said, "My dear brother-in-law Kamsa, you are the most famous king of the Bhoja dynasty, and people know that you are the greatest warrior and a valiant king. How is it that you are so infuriated that you are prepared to kill a woman who is your own sister at this auspicious time of her marriage? Why should you be so much afraid of death? Death is already born along with your birth. From the very day you took birth, you began to die. Suppose you were 25 years old. That means that you are already dead. You've already died 25 years. Every moment, every second, you are dying. Why then should you be so much afraid of death? Final death is inevitable. You may die either today or in 100 years. You cannot avoid death. Why should you be so much afraid? Actually, death means annihilation of the present body. As soon as the present body stops functioning, and this is with the five elements of material nature, the living entity within the body accepts another body according to his present action and reaction. It is just as when a man walks on the street, he puts forward his foot, and when he is confident that his foot is situated on sound ground, he lifts the other foot. In this way, one after another, the body changes and the soul transmigrates. See how the plant worm changes from one tree to another so carefully. Similarly, the living entity changes in body as soon as the higher authorities decide on his next body. As long as the living entity is conditioned within the material world, he must take material bodies one after another. His next particular body is offered by the laws of nature according to the actions and reactions of his body, of his life. This body is exactly like one of the bodies which we always see in dreams. During our dream of sleep, we create so many bodies according to mental creation. He has seen gold, and he has also seen a mountain. So in a dream, we may see a golden mountain by combining the two ideas. Sometimes in dreams, we see that we have a body which is flying in the sky. And at times, we completely forget our present body. Similarly, these bodies are changing. When you have one body, you forget the past body. During a dream, you may make contact with so many new kinds of bodies. But when we are awake, we forget them all. And actually, these material bodies are the creations of our mental activities. But at the present moment, we do not recollect our past body. The nature of the mind is flickering. Sometimes it accepts something and immediately it rejects the same thing. Accepting and rejecting is the process of the mind in contact with the five objects of sense gratification. Form, taste, smell, sound, and touch. In a speculative way, the mind comes in touch with the objects of sense gratification, and when the living entity desires a particular type of body, he gets it. Therefore, the body is an offering by the laws of material nature. The living entity accepts the body and comes out again into the material world to enjoy or suffer according to the construction of the body. Unless we have a particular type of body, we cannot enjoy or suffer according to our mental proclivities inherited from our previous life. The particular type of body is actually offered to us according to our mental condition at the time of death. The luminous planets like the sun, moon, and the stars reflect themselves in different types of reservoirs like water, oil, or ghee. The reflection moves according to the movement of the reservoir. The reflection of the moon is on the water, and the moving water makes the moon also appear to be moving. But actually, the moon is not. Similarly, by mental concoction, the living entity attains different kinds of bodies, although actually he has no connection with such bodies. But on account of illusion, being enchanted by the influence of Maya, the living entity thinks that he belongs to a particular type of body. That is the way of conditioned life. Suppose the living entity is now in a human form of body. He thinks that he belongs to the human community, or a particular country or place, particular place. He identifies himself in that way and unnecessarily prepares for another body, which is not required by him. Such desires and mental concoctions are the cause of different types of body. The covering influence of material nature is so strong that the living entity is satisfied in whatever body he gets and he identifies with that body with great pleasure. Therefore, I beg to request you not to be overwhelmed by the dictation of your mind and body. Vasudeva thus requested Kamsa not to be envious of his newly married sister. One should not be envious of anyone, because envy is the cause of fear both in this world and in the next, when one is before Yamaraj, the Lord of punishment after death. Vasudeva appealed to Kamsa on behalf of Devaki, stating that she was his younger sister. He also appealed at an auspicious moment at the time of marriage. A younger sister or brother are supposed to be protected as one's children. The position is overall so delicate, Vasudeva reasoned, that if you kill her, it will go against your high reputation. Vasudeva tried to pacify Kamsa by good instruction, as well as by philosophical discrimination. But Kamsa was not to be pacified because of his association with demoniac. Because of this demoniac association, he was always a demon, although born in a very high royal family. A demon never cares for any good instruction. He is just like a determined thief. One can give him moral instruction, but it will not be effective. Similarly, those who are demoniac or atheistic by nature can hardly assimilate any good instruction, however authorized it may be. That is the difference between demigod and demon. Those who can accept good instruction and try to live their lives in that way are called demigods, and those who are unable to take good instruction are called demons. Failing in his attempt to pacify Kamsa, Vasudeva wondered how he would protect his wife, Devaki. When there is imminent danger, an intelligent person should try to avoid the dangerous position as far as possible. But if in spite of endeavoring by all intelligence, one fails to avoid the dangerous position, there is no fault on his part. One should try his best to execute his duties, but if the attempt fails, he is not at fault. Devaki thought of his wife as follows. For the present, let me save the life of Devaki. Then later on, if there are children, I shall see how to save them. He further thought, if in the future I get a child who can kill Kamsa just as Kamsa is thinking, then both Devaki and the child will be saved from the law of providence, because the law of providence is inconceivable. But now, somewhere or other, let me save the life of Devaki. There is no certainty how a living entity contacts a certain type of body, just as there is no certainty how the blazing fire comes in contact with a certain type of wood in the forest. When there is a forest fire, it is experienced that the blazing fire sometimes leaps over one tree and catches another by the influence of the wind. Similarly, a living entity may be very careful and fearful in the matter of executing his duties, but it is still very difficult for him to know what type of body he is going to get in his next life. Maharaj Bharat was very faithfully executing the duties of self-realization, but by chance, he contracted temporary affection for a deer, and he had to accept his next life in the body of a deer. Vasudeva, after deliberating on how to save his wife, began to speak to Kamsa with great respect, although Kamsa was the most sinful man. Sometimes it happens that a most virtuous person like Vasudeva has to flatter a person like Kamsa, a most vicious person. That is the way of all diplomatic transactions. Although Vasudeva was deeply aggrieved, he presented himself outwardly as cheerful. He addressed the shameless Kamsa in that way because he was so atrocious. Vasudeva said to Kamsa, "My dear brother-in-law, please consider that you have no danger from your sister. You are awaiting some danger because you have heard a prophetic voice in the sky. But danger is to come from the sons of your sister, who are not present now. And who knows, there may or may not be sons in the future. Considering all this, you are safe for the present. Now there is cause of fear from your sister, nor is there cause of fear from your sister. If there are any sons born of her, I promise that I shall present all of them to you for necessary action." Kamsa knew the value of Vasudeva's word of honor, and he was convinced by this argument. For the time being, he desisted from the heinous killing of his sister. But Vasudeva was pleased and praised the decision of Kamsa. In this way, he returned to his home. After due course of time, Vasudeva and Devaki gave birth to 8 male children, as well as 1 daughter. When the first son was born, Vasudeva kept his word of honor and immediately brought the child before Kamsa. It is said that Vasudeva was very much elevated and famous for his word of honor, and he wanted to maintain this fame. Although it was very painful for Vasudeva to hand over the newly born child, Kamsa was very glad to receive him. But he became a little compassionate with the behavior of Vasudeva. This event is very exemplary. For a great soul like Vasudeva, there is nothing considered to be painful in the course of discharging one's duty. A learned person like Vasudeva carries out his duties without hesitation. On the other hand, a demon like Kamsa never hesitates in committing any abominable action. It is said, therefore, that a saintly person can tolerate all kinds of miserable conditions of life. A learned man can discharge his duties without awaiting favorable circumstance. A heinous person like Kamsa can act in any sinful way, and a devotee can sacrifice everything to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kamsa became satisfied by the action of Vasudeva. He was surprised to see Vasudeva keeping his word, and being compassionate upon him and pleased, he began to speak as follows. "My dear Vasudeva, you need not present this child to me. I am not in danger from this child. I have heard that the 8th child born of you and Devaki will kill me. Why should I accept this child unnecessarily? You can take him back." When Vasudeva was returning home with his firstborn child, although he was pleased by the behavior of Kamsa, he could not believe in him because he knew that Kamsa was uncontrolled. An atheistic person cannot be firm in his word of honor. One who cannot control the senses cannot be steady in his determination. The great politician Janaka Pandit said, "Never put your trust in a diplomat or in a woman. Those who are addicted to unrestricted sense gratification can never be truthful, nor can they be trusted with any faith." That time, the great saint Narada came to Kamsa. He was informed of Kamsa's becoming compassionate to Vasudeva and returning his firstborn child. Narada was very anxious to accelerate the descent of Lord Krishna, as soon as possible. He therefore informed Kamsa that personalities like Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men and girls and the wives of the cowherd men in Vrindavan, and on the other side, Vasudeva, his father, Surasena, and all his relatives born in the family of Rishi and Yadu dynasty, were preparing for the appearance of the Lord. Narada warned Kamsa to be careful of the friends and well-wishers and all the demigods taking birth in those families. Kamsa and his friends and advisors were all demons. Demons are always afraid of demigods. After being thus informed by Narada about the appearance of the demigods in different families, Kamsa at once became alert. He understood that since the demigods had already appeared, Lord Vishnu must be coming soon. He at once arrested both his brother-in-law Vasudeva and Devaki and put them behind prison bars. Within the prison, shackled in iron chains, Vasudeva and Devaki gave birth to a male child year after year, and Kamsa, thinking each of the babes to be the incarnation of Vishnu, killed them one after another. He was particularly afraid of the eighth child, but after the visit of Narada, he came to the conclusion that any child might be Krishna. Therefore, it was better to kill all the babes who took birth of Devaki and Vasudeva. This action of Kamsa is not very difficult to understand. There are many instances in the history of the world of persons in the royal order who have killed father, brother, or a whole family and friends for the satisfaction of their ambitions. There is nothing astonishing about this, for the demoniac can kill anyone for their nefarious ambitions. Kamsa was made aware of his previous birth by the grace of Narada. He learned that in his previous birth he was a demon by the name of Kalanima, and that he was killed by Vishnu. Having taken his birth in the Vodja family, he decided to become the deadly enemy of the Yadu dynasty. Krishna was going to take his birth in that family, and Kamsa was very much afraid that he would be killed by Krishna, just as he was killed in his last birth. He first of all imprisoned his father Ugrasena, because he was the chief king among the Yadu, Boga, and Nandaka dynasty. And he also occupied the kingdom of Surasena, Vasudeva's father. He declared himself the king of all such places. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purport of the first chapter of Krishna, Advent of Lord Krishna. Prayers by the demigods for Lord Krishna in the womb. King Kamsa not only occupied the kingdoms of the Jadu, Boga, and Nandaka dynasties and the kingdom of Surasena, but he also made alliances with all the other demoniac kings as follows. The demon Pralamba, demon Baka, demon Samira, demon Sinavarta, demon Agastura, demon Mustika, demon Arista, demon Dvida, demon Bhutana, demon Kinsi, demon Dainaka. At that time, Jarasandha, the king of Madhya province, known as the present Bihar state, thus by his diplomatic diplomacy, Kamsa consolidated the most powerful kingdom of his time under the protection of Jarasandha. He made further alliances with such kings as Banasura and Balmasura. Until he was the strongest, then he began to behave most inimically toward the Yadu dynasty into which Krishna was to take his birth.
Being harassed by Kamsa, the kings of the Yadu, Boja, and Nandaka dynasties began to take shelter in different states, such as the state of the Kurus, the state of the Panchalas, the states known as Kekaya, Salva, Sarva, Vishada, Vijaya, and Kushala. Kamsa broke the solidarity of the Yadu kingdom, as well as the Boja and Nandaka. He made his position the most solid within the vast tract of land known at that time as Bharatvarsha. When Kamsa killed the six babies of Devaki and Vasudeva, one after another, many friends and relatives of Kamsa approached him and requested him to discontinue these heinous activities. But all of them became worshippers of Kamsa. When Devaki became pregnant for the seventh time, a plenary expansion of Krishna known as Ananta appeared within her womb. Devaki was overwhelmed both with jubilation and lamentation. She was joyful, for she could understand that Lord Vishnu had taken shelter within her womb, but at the same time she was sorry that as soon as her child would come out, Kamsa would kill him. At that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, being compassionate upon the fearful condition of the Jadus, due to atrocities committed by Kamsa, ordered the appearance of his Yogamaya, or his internal potency. Krishna is the Lord of the universe, but he is especially the Lord of the Garuda Dynasty. This Yogamaya is the principal potency of the personality of Godhead. In the Vedas, it is stated that the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has multi-potencies. Parasya, parasya saktir vividaiva shuyati. All the different potencies are acting externally and internally. And Yogamaya is the chief of all potencies. He ordered the appearance of Yogamaya in the land of Rajabhumi, in Vrindavana, which is always decorated and full with beautiful cows. In Vrindavana, Rohini, one of the wives of Vasudeva, was residing at the house of King Nanda and Queen Yashoda. Not only Rohini, but many others in the Yadu dynasty were scattered all over the country due to their fear of the atrocities of Kansa. Some of them were even living in the caves of the mountains. The Lord thus informed Yogamaya, under the imprisonment of Kansa are Devaki and Vasudeva, and at the present moment, my plenary expansion, Shesha, is within the womb of Devaki. You can arrange the transfer of Shesha from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. After this arrangement, I am personally going to appear in the womb of Devaki with my full potencies. Then I shall appear as the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. And you shall appear as the daughter of Nanda and Yashoda in Vrindavan. Since you will appear as my contemporary sister, people within the world will worship you with all kinds of valuable presentations, incense, candles, flowers, and offerings of sacrifice. You shall quickly satisfy the desires for sense gratification. People who are after materialistic affection will worship you under the different forms of your expansion, which will be named Durga, Chandrakali, Vijaya, Vaishnavi, Kumanda, Kumada, Sandika, Krishna, Madhavi, Sandika, Maya, Narayani, Ishani, Sarada, and Ambika. Krishna and Yogamaya appeared as brother and sister, the supreme powerful and the supreme power. Although there is no clear distinction between the powerful and the power, power is always subordinate to the powerful. Those who are materialistic are worshippers of the power, but those who are transcendentalists are worshippers of the powerful. Krishna is the supreme powerful, and Durga is the supreme power within the material world. Actually, people in the Vedic culture worship both the powerful and the power. There are many hundreds of thousands of temples of Vishnu and Devi, and sometimes they are worshipped simultaneously. The worshipper of the power, Durga, or the external energy of Krishna, may achieve all kinds of material success very easily. But anyone who wants to be elevated transcendentally must engage in worshipping the powerful in Krishna consciousness. The Lord also declared to Yogamaya that his planetary expansion on non-cessation was within the womb of Devaki. On account of being forcibly attracted to the womb of Rohini, he would be known as Shankarshan and would be the source of all spiritual power or bala, by which one could be able to attain the highest bliss of life, which is called Ramana. Therefore, the plenary portion of Nanda would be known after his appearance either as Shankarshan or Balaram. In the Upanishads it is stated, Dayam Atma Bala Hinena Labhya. The purport is that one cannot attain a supreme or any form of self-realization without being sufficiently favored by Balaram. Bala does not mean physical strength. No one can attain spiritual perfection by physical strength. One must have the spiritual strength which is infused by Balaram or Shankarshan. Ananta or Sita is the power which sustains all the planets in their different positions. Materially, this sustaining power is known as the law of gravitation, but actually it is the display of the potency of Shankarshan. Balarama or Shankarshan is spiritual power or the original spiritual master. Therefore, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is also the incarnation of Balaram, is the original spiritual master. And the spiritual master is the representative of Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who supplies spiritual strength. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is confirmed that the spiritual master is the manifestation of the mercy of Krishna. Gamaya was thus ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She circumambulated the Lord and then appeared within this material world according to his order. When the supreme powerful personality of God has transferred Lord Shesha from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, both of them were under the spell of Yogamaya, which is also called Yoganidra. When this was done, people understood that Devaki's seventh pregnancy was a miscarriage. Thus, although Balaram appeared as the son of Devaki, he was transferred to the womb of Rohini to appear as her son. After this arrangement, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is always ready to place his full potencies in his unalloyed devotees, entered as the Lord of the whole creation within the mind of Vasudeva. It is understood in this connection that Lord Krishna first of all situated himself in the unalloyed heart of Devaki. He was not put into the womb of Devaki by seminal discharge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable potency, can appear in any way. It is not necessary for him to appear in the ordinary way by seminal injection within the womb of a woman. When Vasudeva was sustaining the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, he appeared just like the glowing sun, whose shining rays are always unbearable and scorching to the common man. The form of the Lord situated in the pure unalloyed heart of Vasudeva is not different from the original form of Krishna. The appearance of the form of Krishna anywhere, and specifically within the heart, is called Dhamma. Dhamma does not only refer to Krishna's form, but his name, his form, his quality. Dhamma does not only... Dhamma does not only refer to Krishna's form, but his name, his form, his quality, and his paraphernalia. Everything becomes manifested simultaneously. Thus, the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the full potency, was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki, exactly as the setting sun's rays are transferred to the full moon rising in the east. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, entered the body of Devaki from the body of Vasudeva. He was beyond the conditions of the ordinary living entity. When Krishna is there, it is to be understood that all his plenary expansions, such as Narayana, and the incarnations like Lord Nrsimha, Varaha, and so on, are with him, and they are not subject to the conditions of material existence. In this way, Devaki became the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without a second, and the cause of all creation. Devaki became the residence of the Absolute Truth, but because she was within the house of Kamsa, she looked just like a suppressed fire, or like misused education. When fire is covered by the walls of a pot, or is kept in a jug, the illuminating rays of the fire cannot be very much appreciated. Similarly, misused knowledge, which does not benefit the people in general, is not very much appreciated. So Devaki was kept within the prison walls of Kamsa's palace, and no one could see her transcendental beauty, which resulted from her conceiving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kamsa, however, saw the transcendental beauty of his sister Devaki, and he at once concluded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had taken shelter in her womb. She had never before looked so wonderfully beautiful. He could distinctly understand that there was something wonderful within the womb of Devaki. In this way, Kamsa became perturbed. He was sure that the Supreme Personality of Godhead would kill him in the future, that he had now come. Kamsa began to think, what is to be done with Devaki? Surely she has Vishnu or Krishna in her womb. So it is certain that Krishna has become to execute the mission of the demigods. And even if I immediately kill Devaki, his mission cannot be frustrated. Kamsa knew very well that no one can frustrate the purpose of Vishnu. Any intelligent man can understand that the laws of God cannot be violated. His purpose will be served in spite of all impediments offered by the demons. Kamsa thought, if I kill Devaki at the present moment,
Vishnu and forces the Supreme Will more vehemently.
To kill Devaki just now would be a most abominable act. No one desires to kill his reputation, even in an awkward situation. If I kill Devaki now, my reputation will be spoiled. Devaki is a woman, and she is under my shelter. She is pregnant. And if I kill her, immediately all my reputation, the result of pious activities and duration of life, will be finished. He also further deliberated. A person who is too cruel, even in his lifetime, is as good as dead. No one likes a cruel person during his lifetime, and after his death, people curse him. On account of his self-identification with the body, he must be degraded and pushed into the darkest region of hell. Consciousness meditated on all the pros and cons of killing Devaki at that time. Consciousness finally decided not to kill Devaki right away, but to wait for the inevitable future. But his mind became absorbed in animosity against the personality of Godhead. He patiently waited for the deliverance of the child, expecting to kill him, as he had done previously with the other babies of Devaki. Thus being merged in the ocean of animosity against the personality of Godhead, he began to think of Krishna and Vishnu while sitting, while sleeping, while walking, while eating, while working, in all the situations of his life. His mind became so much absorbed with the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that indirectly he could see only Krishna or Vishnu around him. Unfortunately, although his mind was so absorbed in the thought of Vishnu, he is not recognized as a devotee because he was thinking of Krishna as
not Krishna consciously. Oh, see, this consciousness means not as any anukullena krishnanushilanam, not pratikullena. Pratikullena is adverse. If we think of Krishna adversely, that is not Krishna consciousness. We must think of Krishna in terms of love and charity. That is it. That is the distinction between the demon and the demigod. The demigods are devotees. They think of Krishna even. Even in terms of satisfying Krishna. And the demons also sometimes think of Krishna always, but not favorably, unfavorably. So, thinking of Krishna unfavorably is not Krishna consciousness. That is the distinction.
The state of mind of a great devotee is also to be always absorbed in Krishna. But a devotee thinks of him favorably, not unfavorably. To think of Krishna favorably is Krishna consciousness, and to think of Krishna unfavorably is not Krishna consciousness. At this time, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, accompanied by great sages like Narada and followed by many other demigods, invisibly appear in the house of consciousness. They began to pray for the personality of Godhead and select prayers which are very pleasing to the devotees and which reward fulfillment of their desires. The first words they spoke proclaimed that the Lord is true to his vow.
Hey, somebody.
As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna descends in this material world just to protect the pious and destroy the impious. That is his vow. The demigods should understand that the Lord has taken the residence within the womb of Devaki in order to fulfill this vow. The demigods were very glad that the Lord was occurring to fulfill his mission. They addressed him as Satyam Param, or the Supreme Absolute Truth. Everyone is searching after the truth. That is a philosophical way of life. The demigods give information that the Supreme Absolute Truth is Krishna. One who becomes fully Krishna conscious can attain the Absolute Truth. Krishna is the Absolute Truth. Relative truth is not truth in all the three phases of eternal time. Time is divided into past, present, and future. Krishna is truth always, past, present, and future. In the material world, everything is being controlled by supreme time
in the course of past, present, and future. But before the creation, Krishna was existing. And when there is creation, everything is resting in Krishna. And when his creation is finished, Krishna will remain. Therefore, he is absolute truth in all circumstances. If there is any truth within this material world, it emanates from the supreme truth, Krishna. If there is any opulence within this material world, the cause of the opulence is Krishna. If there is any reputation within this material world, the cause of the reputation is Krishna. If there is any strength within this material world, the cause of such strength is Krishna. If there is any wisdom and education within this material world, the cause of such wisdom and education is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the source of all relative truth. This material world is composed of five principal elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And all such elements are emanations from Krishna. The material scientist accepts these primary five elements as the cause of material manifestation. The elements in their gross and subtle states are produced by Krishna. The living entities while working within this material world are also products of his marginal potencies. In the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that the whole manifestation is a combination of two kinds of energies of Krishna, the superior energy and the inferior energy. The living entities are the superior energy, and the dead material elements are his inferior energy. In its dormant state, everything remains in Krishna. The demigods continue to offer their respectful prayers under the supreme form of the personality of Godhead Krishna by analytical study of the material manifestation. What is this material manifestation? It is just like a tree. A tree stands on the ground. Similarly, the tree of the material manifestation is standing on the ground of material nature. This material manifestation is compared with the tree because the tree is ultimately cut off in due course of time. A tree is called vriksha. Vriksha means that thing which will be ultimately cut off. Therefore, this tree of the material manifestation cannot be accepted as the ultimate truth. The influence of time is on the material manifestation, but Krishna's body is eternal. He existed before the material manifestation. He is existing while the material manifestation is continuing, and when it will be dissolved, he will continue to exist. The Katha Upanishad also cites this example of the tree of material manifestation standing on the ground of material nature. This tree has two kinds of fruit, distress and happiness. Those who are living in the tree of the body are just like two birds. One bird is the localized aspect of Krishna, known as Paramatma, and the other bird is the living entity. The living entity is eating the fruit of its material manifestation. Sometimes he eats the fruit of happiness, and sometimes he eats the fruit of distress. But the other bird is not interested in eating the fruit of distress or happiness because he is self-satisfied. The Katha Upanishad states that one bird on the tree of the body is eating the fruit, and the other bird is simply witnessing. The roots of this tree extend in three directions. That means the root of the tree is in the three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Just as the tree's roots expand, so by association of the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, one expands the duration of material existence. The tastes of the fruits are of four kinds: religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and ultimately, liberation. According to the different associations in the three modes of material nature, the living entities are tasting different kinds of religiosity, different kinds of economic development, different kinds of sense gratification, and different kinds of liberation. Practically, all material work is performed in ignorance. But because there are three qualities, sometimes the quality of ignorance is covered with goodness or passion. The taste of these material fruits is accepted through five senses. The five sense organs through which knowledge is acquired are subjected to six kinds of will: lamentation, illusion, infirmity, death, hunger and thirst. This material body, or the material manifestation, is covered by seven layers: skin, muscle, flesh, marrow, bone, fat, and stamina. The branches of the tree are eight: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. There are nine gates in this body: the two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, one mouth, one genital, one rectum. And there are 10 kinds of internal air passing within the body: prana, apana, udana, jhana, samana, etc. The two birds seated in this tree, as explained above, are the living entities and the localized supreme personality of God.
The root cause of the material manifestation described here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself and takes charge of the two qualities of the material world. Vishnu takes charge of the modes of goodness. Brahma takes charge of the modes of passion. Lord Shiva takes charge of the modes of ignorance. Brahma, by the modes of passion, creates this manifestation. Lord Vishnu maintains this manifestation by the modes of goodness. And Lord Shiva annihilates it by the modes of ignorance. The whole creation ultimately rests in the Supreme Lord. He is the cause of creation, maintenance, and the solution. And when the whole manifestation is dissolved in its subtle form as energy of the Lord, it rests within the body of the Supreme Lord. At the present, as anybody prays, the Supreme Lord Krishna is appearing just for the maintenance of its manifestation. Actually, the Supreme Cause is one, and being deluded by the three modes of material nature, less intelligent persons see that the material world is manifested through different causes. Those who are intelligent can see that the cause is one, Krishna, as is stated in the Brahma Samhita, Sarva Karana Karana. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, and is the cause of all causes. Brahma is the leading agent for creation. Vishnu is the expansion of Krishna for maintenance. And Lord Shiva is the expansion of Krishna for dissolution. Our dear Lord, as any God's praise, it is very difficult to understand your eternal form of personality. People in general are unable to understand your actual form. Therefore, you are personally descending to exhibit your original eternal form. Somehow, people can understand the different incarnations of your Lordship, but they are puzzled to understand the eternal form of Krishna with two hands, moving among human beings exactly like one of you. The eternal form of your Lordship is ever-increasing in transcendental pleasure for the devotees, and for the non-devotees, this form is very easy. As we stand in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is very pleasing to the sadhus. It is said, Parityana, Sadhujana, that this form is very dangerous for the demons because Krishna also descends to kill the demons. He is, therefore, simultaneously pleasing to the devotees and dangerous to the demons. My dear Lotus-eyed Lord, you are the source of pure goodness. There are many great things which seem to be like samadhi or transcendental meditating upon your lotus feet. Thus being absorbed in your thought, have easily transformed this whole great ocean of nothing created by the material nature to no more than the water in a cast of time. The purpose of meditation is to focus the mind upon the personality of God, beginning from his lotus feet. Simply by meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord, great changes cross over the vast ocean of material existence without difficulty. O self-illumined one, the great saintly persons who have crossed over the ocean of nothing by the help of the transcendental boat of your lotus feet, have not taken away that boat. It is still lying there on that shore. The demigods are using a nice similar. One takes a boat to cross the river, the boat also goes with one to the other side. And so, when one reaches the destination, how can the same boat be available to go to those two on the other side? You answer the same difficulty. The demigods saying in their prayers, the boat is not taken away. The boat is still remaining on the other side, or able to pass over the ocean of material nature because the pure devotees do not take the boat with them when they cross over. He once simply approaches the boat, the whole great ocean of material nothingness is reduced to the size of water in a past. Therefore, the devotees do not need to take the boat to the other side. They simply cross over the ocean immediately. Because the great sixty persons are compassionate toward all its all conditioned souls, the boat is still lying at the lotus feet of the Lord. One can meditate upon his feet at any time, and by so doing one can cross over the great ocean of material existence. Meditation means concentration upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Lotus feet indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are impersonal do not recognize the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore, their object of meditation is something impersonal. The demigods express their mature verdict. The persons who are interested in meditating on something void or impersonal cannot cross over the ocean of nothing. The persons are simply imagining that they have become liberated. Oh, lotus-eyed Lord! Their intelligence is contaminated because they fail to meditate upon the lotus feet of your lordship. As a result of this neglectful activity, the impersonals fall down again into the material way of conditioned life, although they may temporarily rise up to the point of impersonal realization. The impersonals, after undergoing severe austerities and penances, merge themselves into the Brahman effulgence or impersonal Brahman existence. But their minds are not free from material contamination. They have simply strived to mitigate the material ways of thinking. That does not mean that they have become liberated. Thus they fall down. And the Bhagavad Gita is stated the impersonal has to undergo great tribulation in realizing the ultimate goal. At the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also stated that without devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot achieve liberation from the bondage of material activity. The statement of Lord Krishna. Is there in the Bhagavad Gita, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the statement of the great sage Narada is there. And here also the demigods confirm it. Persons who have not taken the devotional service are understood to have come short in the ultimate purpose of knowledge and are not favored by your grace. The impersonals simply think that they are liberated, but actually they have no feeling for the personality of God. They think that when Krishna comes into the material world, he accepts a material body. They therefore overlook the transcendental body of Krishna. It is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita of Janantri Mam Yudhar. In spite of conquering material lust and rising up to the point of liberation, the impersonalists fall down. They are engaged just in knowing things for the sake of knowledge. They do not take the devotion of the to the Lord. They cannot achieve the desire themselves. Their achievement is the trouble they take. That is all. It's clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita that to realize Brahman identification is not all. Brahman identification may help one become joyful without material attachment or detachment, and to achieve the platform of equanimity. But after this stage, one has to take the devotional service. So one takes to the devotional service after being elevated to the platform of Brahman realization. He is then admitted into the spiritual kingdom for permanent residence and association with the Supreme Personality of God. That is the result of the devotional service. Those who are devotees of the Supreme Personality of God never fall down like the impersonal. Even if a devotee falls down, they remain affectionately attached to their lord. They can meet all kinds of obstacles on the path of emotional service and see, without any fear, they can surmount such obstacles. Because of their surrender, they are certain that Krishna will always protect them. As is promised by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, my devotees are never vanquished. Our dear Lord, you have appeared in your original unalloyed form, the eternal form of goodness, to the welfare of all human beings within the material world. Taking the advantage of your lordship, all of them can now very easily understand the nature and form of the Supreme Personality of God. Persons who belong to the four divisions of the social order, the Brahmacharis, the Vyasas, Brahmaprasas, and Sannyasis, can all take advantage of your appearance.
All these descriptions are required to understand Krishna. Otherwise, these false philosophers and scientists, they take Krishna as ordinary human being. Anthropomorphism, that they consider that Krishna is an ordinary man, but some people have accepted him on account of his uncommon activities, accepted him as God. That is called anthropomorphism. So, to nullify this argument of anthropomorphism, so many descriptions about Krishna is given here. We are accepting Krishna not by sentiment that we have accepted some human being as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are the symptoms described by the demigods. So we should carefully hear.
Dear Lord, husband of the goddess of fortune, devotees who are dovetailed in your service do not fall from their high position like the impersonal. Being protected by you, the devotees are able to traverse over the heads of many of Maya's commanders and chiefs, who can always put stumbling blocks on the path of liberation. Now, dear Lord, your pure and transcendental form for the benefit of the religious entities, so they can see your face to you face to face and offer their way to worshipful sacrifice, a ritualistic performance of the Vedas, mystic meditation and devotional service, as recommended in the scripture. Dear Lord, if you did not appear in your eternal transcendental form, full of bliss and knowledge, which can eradicate all kinds of speculative ignorance about your position, and all people would simply speculate about you according to their respective modes of material nature. The appearance of Lord Krishna is the answer to all imaginative iconography of the Supreme Personality of God. Everyone imagines the form of the Supreme Personality of God according to his mode of material nature. In Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the Lord is the oldest person. Therefore, a section of religion not religionists imagines God must be very old. And therefore, they detect a form of the Lord like a very old man. In the same Brahma Samhita, that is contradicted. Although he is the oldest of all living entities, he has his eternal form as a fresh youth. The exact words used in this connection are appear in Bhagavatam, and his anonymous are denied to be often.
This
transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Personality. Jnanam is also experienced knowledge. Transcendental knowledge has to be accepted by the descending process of the super succession, as Brahma presents the knowledge of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita is the Jnanam, as
we
learn, by Brahma's transcendental experience. And it is that way he presents the form of the pastime to Krishna in his transcendental abode. Adhanavi means that which is that which can match all kinds of speculation. The ignorant people are imagining the forms of the Lord. Sometimes he has no form, sometimes he has form, according to their different imaginations. But the presentation of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita is beyond scientific, experienced knowledge given by Lord Brahma and accepted by Lord Krishna. There is no doubt about it. Sri Krishna's form, Sri Krishna's flute, Krishna's color, everything is reality. Here it is stated that this Vigana is always deceiving all kinds of speculative knowledge. Therefore, without your appearing as Krishna, you are neither Agnanadi, the message of speculative knowledge, nor Vijnana, which is realized. Avijnanadi, aparamadhanam, by your appearance, the speculative knowledge of ignorance will be vanquished, and the real experience knowledge and authorities like Lord Brahma will be established. Then influenced by the three modes of material nature, imagine your own God according to the modes of material nature. In this way, God is presented in various ways. As your appearance will establish what the real form of God is. The highest wonder committed by the impersonalist is to think that when the incarnation of God comes, he accepts the form of matter in the modes of goodness. Actually, the form of Krishna or Narayana is transcendental to any material idea. Even the great impersonalist Shankaracharya has admitted that Narayana Hoparo Vakrasa, the material creation is caused by the Abhyakta, the impersonal manifestation of matter, or the non-ephemeral total reservation of matter. And Krishna is transcendental to that material conception. It is expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam as Siddhasattva, or transcendental. He does not belong to the material mode of bliss. And he is above the position of material bliss. He belongs to the transcendental eternal status of bliss and knowledge. Dear Lord, when you appear in your different incarnations, you take different names and forms according to different situations. Lord Krishna is your name because you are all attractive. You are called Shyama Sundara because of your transcendental beauty. Shyama means blackness. Yet, as we say, you are more beautiful than thousands of people. Burned up.
appear in a color which is compared to the blanket cloud, because you are transcendental absolute. Your beauty is many, many times more attractive than the delicate body of speaking. Sometimes you are called Vidhari because you look at the children of Govardhan. And sometimes you are called Nandanandan or Vasudeva or Devaki Nanda because you appear as the son of Maharaj Nanda or Devaki or Vasudeva. Impersonalists think that you have many names or forms, think that your many names or forms are according to a particular type of working quality because they accept you in the position of material observer. Well, dear Lord, the way of understanding is not to study your absolute nature, form, and activity by mental speculation. One must engage himself in devotional service. Then one can understand your absolute nature, transcendental form, meaning, quality. Actually, only a person who has a little taste for the service of your lotus feet can understand your transcendental nature or form and quality. Others may go on speculating for millions of years, and it is not possible for them to understand even a single part of your actual position. In other words, the Supreme Personality of God is Krishna. It cannot be understood by the non-devotees because there is a certain of Yoga Maya which Krishna covers his actual teaching. It's confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Naham
Prabhasa.
Lord says, I am not exposed to anyone and everyone. When Krishna came, he was actually present on the battle of the field of Kurukshetra, and everyone saw him. Not everyone could understand that he was the Supreme Personality of God. So everyone who died in his presence attained complete liberation from material bondage and is transferred into the spiritual world. O Lord, the impersonal or non-devotees cannot understand that your name is identical with your form. If the Lord is absolute, there is no difference between his name and his actual form. In the material world, there is a difference between name and form. The mango fruit is different from the name of the mango. One cannot taste the mango fruit simply by chanting mango, mango, mango. The devotee who knows that there is no difference between the form of the Lord and the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, realizes that he is always in Krishna's company. For persons who are not very advanced in absolute knowledge and receive Lord Krishna exhibits his transcendental pastime, they can simply sprinkle the pastime from the Lord and get the full benefit. Since there is no difference between the transcendental name and form of the Lord, there is no difference between the transcendental pastime and the form of the Lord. To those who are less intelligent, like women, laborers, and mercantile class, the great sage Vyasadeva wrote Mahabharata. In the Mahabharata, Krishna's presence is given actually. Mahabharata is history. And simply by studying, hearing, and memorizing the transcendental attributes of Krishna, the less intelligent can also gradually rise to the standard of pure devotees. The pure devotees who are always absorbed in the thought of the transcendental lotus feet of Krishna, who are always engaged in devotional service and full Krishna consciousness, are never to be considered to be in the material world. In the Rupa Goswami is explained that those who are always engaged in Krishna consciousness by body, mind, and activity are to be considered liberated even within the body. It is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, those who are engaged in devotional service to the Lord have already transcended the material position. There's no fear to give a chance both to the devotees and non-devotees for realization of the ultimate goal of life. The devotees get the direct chance to see him and worship him. Those who are not on the exact platform get the chance to become acquainted with his activities and thus become elevated to the same position. O dear Lord, the demigods continue, you are unborn, therefore you do not find any reason for your appearance other than for your pleasurable pastime. Although the reason for the appearance of the Lord is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, he descends justice and gives protection to the devotees, vanquish the non-devotees. Actually, he descends for his pleasure to be his individual. Not really to vanquish the non-devotees. The non-devotees can be vanquished simply by material nature. The action and reaction of the external energy of material nature, creation, maintenance, and annihilation, are being carried on automatically. But simply by taking shelter of your holy name, because your holy name and your personality are non-different, the devotees are sufficiently protected. The perfection of the devotees and the annihilation of the non-devotees are actually not the business of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the sense. They are just for his transcendental pleasure. They cannot be any other reason for his appearance. Our dear Lord, you are appearing at the best of the best of the Yadu dynasty, and you are offering our respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. Before this appearance, you have appeared at the fish incarnation, the horse incarnation, the tortoise incarnation, the swan incarnation, the King Ramasandra, the Svarasama, Parasarama, and many other incarnations. You appear just to protect the devotees when we request you in your present appearance as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
give us similar protection all over the free world and remove all obstacles from the peaceful of our lives. Dear Mother Devaki, within your room is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing along with his plenary extension.
Supreme the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, confirms the position of Krishna and the assuring Mother Devaki that your child is not ordinary child. Godhead.
He is the original personality of Godhead appearing for our welfare. Therefore, you should not be afraid of your brother, the King of Borja. Your son, Lord Krishna, who is the original personality of Godhead, will appear for the protection of the pious Jagannath. The Lord is appearing not only alone, but accompanied by his immediate senior forces, Balaram. Devaki was very much afraid of her brother Kamsa because he had always killed so many of his children. He used to remain very anxious about Krishna. He looked to Quran and he stated that in order to pass the Devaki, all the demigods, along with their wives, used to always visit her to encourage her not to be afraid that her son would be killed by Kamsa. Krishna, who was within her womb, is to appear not only to diminish the burden of the world, but specifically to protect the interests of the Jari dynasty, and certainly to protect Devaki.
As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord said that his appearance, birth, and activities are all transcendental. And one who understands them factually becomes immediately eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord's appearance or birth is not like that of an ordinary man who is forced to accept the material body according to his past deeds. The Lord's appearance is explained in the second chapter. He appears out of his own sweet pleasure. When the time was mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellations became very auspicious. The astrological influence of the star, known as Rohini, was also predominant because this star is considered to be very auspicious. Rohini is under the direct supervision of Brahma. According to the astrological conclusion, besides the proper situation of the star, there are auspicious and inauspicious moments due to the different situations of the different planetary systems. At the time of Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. At that time, in all directions, east, west, south, north, everywhere, there was an atmosphere of peace and prosperity. There were auspicious stars visible in the sky, and on the surface in all towns and villages or pasturing grounds, and within the minds of everyone, there were signs of good fortune. The rivers were flowing full of water, and lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full with beautiful birds and peacocks. All the birds within the forest began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance along with their consorts. The wind blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers, and the sensation of bodily touch was very pleasing. At home, the Brahmins were accustomed to offer sacrifices in the fire, found their home very pleasant for offerings. Due to disturbances created by the demoniac king, the sacrificial fire altar had been almost stopped in the house of Brahmins. But now they could find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully. Being forbidden to offer sacrifices, the Brahmins were very distressed in mind, intelligence, and activities. But just on the point of Krishna's appearance, automatically their minds became full of joy. Because they could hear loud vibrations in the sky of transcendental sound, proclaiming the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Divians of the Gandharva and Kinara planets began to sing. Divians of Siddhaloka and the planets of the Charanas began to offer prayers to the service of the Personality of Godhead. In the heavenly planets, the angels, along with their wives, accompanied by the Astaras, began to dance. The great sages and demigods, being pleased, began to shower flowers. At the seashore, there was the sound of mild waves, and above the sea, there were clouds in the sky which began to thunder very peacefully. As things were adjusted like this, Lord Vishnu, who is residing within the heart of every living entity, appear in the darkness of night as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kotivaks, who also appeared as one of the demigods. You hear the
book? Yes. First, as Vishnu, God Vishnu appointed, then God.
The appearance of Lord Vishnu at that time could be compared with a full moon in the sky as it rises on the eastern horizon. The objection may be made that since Lord Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, there could be no rising of the full moon. And after this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty, which is in the territory of the moon. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night, because of the Lord's appearance in the dynasty, wherein the moon is himself, the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition. So by the grace of Krishna, he could appear just as a full moon. In an astronomical study by the name of Kamanika, the constellations at the time of the appearance of Lord Krishna are very magnificent. It is confirmed that the child born at that auspicious moment was the Supreme Brahman, or the Absolute Truth. Vasudeva saw that wonderful child born as a baby with four hands, holding conch shells, club, disc, and lotus flower, decorated with the mark of Sri Vatsa, wearing the jeweled necklace of Kastuba stone, dressed in yellow silk, appearing dazzling like a bright blackish cloud, wearing a helmet decked with a vibrant stone, valuable bracelets, earrings, and similar other ornaments all over his body, and an abundance of hair on his head. Due to the extraordinary features of the child, Vasudeva was Lord Krishna had now appeared, and he... And he became overpowered by the occasion. Vasudeva very humbly wondered that although he was an ordinary living entity, conditioned by material nature, and was externally imprisoned by karma, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna, was appearing as a child in his home, exactly in his original position. No earthly child is born with four hands, decorated with ornaments and nice clothing, fully equipped with all the signs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Over and over again, Vasudeva glanced at his child, and he considered how to celebrate this auspicious moment. Generally, when a male child is born, he thought, people observe the occasion with jubilant celebrations. And in my home, although I am in prison, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has taken birth. How many millions of millions of times should I be prepared to observe this auspicious ceremony? When Vasudeva was, who is also called Anakandamudi, was looking at his newborn baby, he was so happy that he wanted to give many thousands of cows and chariots to the Brahmins. According to the Vedic system, whenever there is an auspicious ceremony in the Kshatriya king's palace, the king gives many things in charity. Cows decorated with golden ornaments are delivered to the Brahmins in favor. Vasudeva wanted to perform a charitable ceremony to celebrate Krishna's appearance. But because he was shackled within the walls of conscious prison, this was not possible. Instead, within his mind, he gave thousands of cows to Brahmins. And Vasudeva was convinced that the newborn child was the Supreme Personality of God himself. He bowed down with folded hands and began to offer him prayers. At that time, Vasudeva, who is in the transcendental position, and became completely free from all fear of conscience. The newborn baby was also flashing his effulgence within the room in which he appeared. Vasudeva then began to offer his prayer. My dear Lord, I can understand who you are. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the super soul of all living entities and the Absolute Truth. You have appeared in your own eternal form, which is directly perceived by us. I understand that because I am afraid of conflict. You have appeared just to deliver me from that fear. You do not belong to this material world. You are the same person who thinks about it, the cause of manifestation.
Like manifestation of material nature.
One may argue that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who creates the whole cosmic manifestation, in Devaki's mass, cannot come within the womb of Devaki, the wife of Vasudeva. To eradicate this argument, Vasudeva says, "My dear Lord, it is not a very wonderful thing that you appear within the womb of Devaki, because the creation was also made in that way. You were lying in the causal ocean as Mahavishnu, and by your breathing process, innumerable universes came into existence. Then you entered into each of the universes as Bhavadakshayushi. Then again you extended yourself as Kiradakshayushi and entered into the hearts of all living entities and entered even within the atoms. Therefore, your entrance in the womb of Devaki is understandable in the same way. You appear to have entered, but you are simultaneously all-pervading. We can understand your entrance and non-entrance on material examples. The social material energy remains intact even after being divided into 16 elements. The material body is nothing but the combination of the five growth elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Whenever there is a material body, it appears that such elements are newly created. But actually, the elements are always existing outside of the body. Similarly, although you appear as a child in the womb of Devaki, you are also existing outside. You are always in your abode, but still you can simultaneously expand yourself into millions of forms. One has to understand your appearance with great intelligence, because the material energy is also emanating from you. You are the original source of the material energy, just as the sun is the source of the sunshine. The sunshine cannot cover the sun glow, nor can the material energy, being an emanation from you, cover you. You appear to be in the three modes of material energy, of the material energy, but actually the three modes of material energy cannot cover you. This is understood by the highly intellectual philosophers. In other words, although you appear to be within the material energy, you are never covered by it. We hear from the Vedic version that the Supreme Brahman exhibits these effulgence and therefore everything becomes illuminated. We can understand from Brahma Samhita that the Brahma Jyoti, or the Brahman effulgence, emanates from the body of the Supreme Lord. And from the Brahman effulgence, all creation takes place. It is further stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord is also the support of the Brahman effulgence. Originally, he is the root cause of everything. But persons who are less intelligent think that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes within this world, he accepts the material quality. Such conclusions are not very mature, but are made by the less intelligent. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is directly and indirectly existing everywhere. He is outside this material creation, and he is also within it. He is within this material creation, not only as Prabhupada Vishnu, he is also within the atoms. Existence is due to his presence. Nothing can be separated from his existence. In the Vedic injunction, we find that the Supreme Soul, or the root cause of everything, has to be searched out, because nothing exists independent of the Supreme Soul. Therefore, the material manifestation is also a transformation of its potency. Both inert matter and the living force, soul, are emanations from him. Only the foolish conclude that when the Supreme Lord appears, he accepts the conditions of matter. Even if he appears to have accepted the material body, he is still not subjected to any material condition. Krishna has therefore appeared and defeated all imperfect conclusions about the appearance and disappearance of the Supreme Personality of God. My Lord, your appearance, existence, and disappearance are beyond the influence of the material qualities, because your Lordship is the controller of everything and the resting place of the Supreme Brahman. There is nothing inconceivable or contradictory in you. As you have said, material nature works under your superintendence. It is just like government officers working under the orders of the chief executive. The influence of subordinate activities cannot affect you. The Supreme Brahman and all phenomena are existing within you, and all the activities of material nature are controlled by your Lordship. You are called Sukram. Sukram, or whiteness, in the symbolic representation of the absolute truth. because it is unaffected by the material qualities. Lord Brahma is called Rasa or Red, because Brahma represents the qualities of passion or creation. Bhakti is entrusted to Lord Shiva, because he annihilates the cosmos. The creation, annihilation, and maintenance of this cosmic manifestation is conducted by your potency. Yet, you are always unaffected by those qualities, as confirmed in the Vedas. Parivi Nidgunaha Svarsha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always free from all material qualities. It is also said that the qualities of passion and ignorance are non-existent in the person of the Supreme Lord. My Lord, you are the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Grace, maintaining the order of the cosmic manifestation. And in spite of your being the Supreme Controller, you have so kindly appeared in my home. The purpose of your appearance is to kill the followers of the demonic rulers of the world, who are in the dress of royal princes, who are actually demons. I am sure that you will kill all of them and their followers and soldiers. I understand that you have appeared to kill the uncivilized concept and his followers. But knowing that you were to appear to kill him and his followers, he had already killed so many of your predecessors, elder brothers. Now he is simply awaiting the news of your birth. As soon as he hears about it, he will immediately appear with all kinds of weapons.
After this prayer, Vasudeva, the mother of Krishna, offered her prayers. She was frightened because of her brother's atrocity. Vasudeva said, "My dear Lord, your eternal forms like Narayana, Lord Ram, Kesha, Brahma, Shunna, Ramana, Vamadeva, and millions of similar incarnations emanating from Vishnu are described in the Vedic literature as original. You are original because all your forms and incarnations are outside of this material creation. Your form was existing before the cosmic manifestation was created. Your forms are eternal and all pervading. They are self-effulgent, changeless, and uncontaminated by material qualities. Such eternal forms are ever cognizant and full of bliss. They are situated in transcendental business, are always engaged in different pastimes. You are not limited to a particular form only. All such transcendental eternal forms are self-sufficient. I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord Vishnu. After many years, when Lord Brahma comes to the end of his life, the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation takes place. At that time, the five elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether, enter into the Mahatattva. The Mahatattva again enters, by the force of time, into the non-manifest and total material energy. The total material energy enters into the energetic Pradhana, and the Pradhana enters into you. Therefore, after the annihilation of the whole cosmic manifestation, you alone remain with your transcendental names, form, qualities, and paraphernalia. My Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because you are the director of the unmanifested total energy, and the ultimate reservoir of the material nature. My Lord, the whole cosmic manifestation is under the influence of time, beginning from the moment up to the duration of the year. All act under your direction. You are the original director of everything, and the reservoir of all potent energies. Therefore, my Lord, I request you to save me from the cruel hands of the son of Ugrasena, Kamsa. I am praying to you, Lord, to please rescue me from this fearful condition, because you are always ready to give protection to your services. The Lord has confirmed the statement in the Bhagavad Gita by assuring Arjuna, you may declare to the world, my devotees shall never be mentioned. So let's pray to the Lord for rescue. Mother Devaki expressed her motherly affection. I understand that this transcendental form is generally perceived in meditation by the great sages. And I am still afraid because it's
simply... Devaki likes expecting. Even Kostantian and Lord Vishnu is forehead. The devotee was thinking that also has killed my other son, suspecting him to be Krishna or Vishnu, although they appeared in two heads. Now he has appeared in four heads.
that solar eclipse the immediately. That of his fear. Therefore, he is requesting better you become true man.
I am still afraid, but as soon as come to understand that the fear, he might harm you. My request, and for the time being, you become invisible to our material eyes. In other words, he requested the Lord to assume the form of an ordinary child. My only cause of fear for my brother Kamsa is due to your appearance. My Lord, my sister Brahma, Kamsa may know that you are already born. Therefore, I request you to conceal this form of your lordship before the more simple decision. Make the Vipant shall desist and fall in the lotus power. My dear Lord, at the end of the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation, put the whole universe within your abdomen. Filled by your unalloyed mercy, never feared in my womb. I am surprised that you imitate the activities of ordinary human beings just to please your devotion. I'm hearing the prayers of Devaki, the Lord his prize. My dear mother, in the millennium of Swayambhuva Manu, my father Vasudeva was living as Anju Prajapati. In his name at that time was Sutapa, and you were his wife named Krishna. At that time, when Lord Brahma was desiring to increase the population, he requested you to generate offspring. You controlled the senses and performed the pure austerities. By practicing the breathing exercise of the yoga system, both you and your husband could tolerate all the influence of the material law of the rain season, the onslaught of the wind, the scorching heat of the sunshine. You also executed all religious principles. In this way, you were able to cleanse your heart and control the influence of the material law. In executing your austerities, you used to eat only the leaves of the trees which fell to the ground. Then with steady mind as you grow sanctified, you worship me, desiring some wonderful benediction.
How much austerity is the underrank in the previous path to get Krishna as their son? One.
Both of these practices of your austerities were 12,000 years, but the calculation of the demigods. During that time, your mind was always absorbed in me. When you were executing the devotional service and always thinking of me within your heart, I was very much pleased with you. Oh, sinless mother, your heart is therefore always pure. At that time also, I appeared before you in this form just to fulfill your desires. I asked you to ask whatever you desire. At that time, you wished to have me born as your son. Although you saw me personally, instead of asking for your complete liberation from the material bondage under the influence of my energy, you asked me to become your son. In other words, the Lord selected mother and father, namely Krishna and Sutapa, specifically to appear in the material world. Whenever the Lord comes as a human being, he must have someone as mother and father. So he selected Krishna and Sutapa perpetually as his mother and father. And on account of this, both Krishna and Sutapa cannot ask the Lord for liberation. Liberation is not so important as the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The Lord could have awarded Krishna and Sutapa immediate liberation, but he prefers to keep them within this material world for his different appearances, as will be explained in the following verses. On receiving the benediction from the Lord to become his father and mother, both Krishna and Sutapa returned from the activities of austerity and lived as husband and wife in order to beget a child who is the Supreme Lord himself. In due course of time, Krishna became pregnant and gave birth to the child. The Lord spoke to Devaki and Vasudeva. At that time, my name was Krishna Dharva. In the next millennium also, you took birth as Aditi and Kasyapa, and I became your child with the name Uttendra. At that time, my form was just like his word.
Whenever God incarnates, takes birth, he has got a particular state of father and mother, not ordinary.
At that time, my form was just like his word. And for this reason, I was known as Vamanadeva. I gave you the benediction that I would take birth as your son 3 times. The first time, I was known as Krishna Garba. So I was born of Krishna and Sutapa. The next birth I was a descendant, born of Aditi and Kasyapa. And now, for the third time, man born as Krishna from you, Devaki,
now, Krishna will be taken by the order of Krishna to Maharaj Yashoda's house, and I think you are getting impatient. So, we shall discuss this matter tomorrow. Is that all right? Now it's an
offer. All right. I am using this form just to convince you that I am the same supreme personality of Godhead again taking birth. I could have appeared just like an ordinary child, but in that way you would not believe that I, the supreme personality of Godhead, have taken birth in your womb. My dear father and mother, you have therefore raised me many times as your child with great affection and love. And I am therefore very pleased and obliged to you. And I assure you that this time you shall go back to home, back to Godhead, on account of your perfection and your mission. I know that you are very concerned about me and afraid of Kamsa. Therefore, I order you to take me immediately to Gokula and replace me with his daughter, who has just been born to Jasaru. Having spoken thus in the presence of his father and mother, the Lord turns himself into an ordinary child and remains silent. Being ordered by the supreme personality of Godhead, Vasudeva attempted to take his son from the delivery room. And exactly at that time, his daughter was born of Nanda and Jasoda. She was Yogamaya, the internal potency of the Lord. By the influence of this internal potency, Yogamaya, all the residents of Kamsa's palace, especially the doorkeepers, were overwhelmed with these streets, and all the palace doors opened, although they were barred and shackled with iron chains. The night was very dark, but as soon as Vasudeva took Krishna on his lap and went out, he could see everything just as in the sunlight. And he kept hunting his very calm himself, and he said that Krishna is just like sunlight. And wherever there is Krishna, the beautiful energy which is compared to darkness cannot be reached. When Vasudeva was carrying Krishna, the darkness of the night disappeared. All the prison doors automatically opened. At the same time, there was thunder in the sky and severe rainfall. Although Vasudeva was carrying his son Krishna in the fallen rain, Lord Chaitanya, in the shape of a serpent, spread his foot over the head of Vasudeva so that he would not be hampered by the rainfall. Vasudeva came onto the bank of the Jamuna and saw that the water of the Jamuna was roaring with waves and the whole sand was full of foam. Still, in that furious feature, the river gave passage to Vasudeva's cross. Just as the great Indian Ocean gave it past to Lord Rama when he was bridging over the Gulf. In this way, Vasudeva crossed the river Jamuna. On the other side, he went to the palace of Nanda Maharaj, situated in Gokula, and he saw that all the cavalry men were fast asleep. He took the opportunity of suddenly entering into the house of Jasoda, and without difficulty, he saved his son, taking away the baby girl newly born in the house of Jasoda. Then, after entering the house very silently and exchanging the boy with the girl, he again returned to the prison of Kamsa and silently put the girl on the lap of Devaki. He again clamped the shackles on himself so that Kamsa would not recognize that so many things had happened. Mother Jasoda understood that a child was born of her, but because she was tired from the labor of childbirth, she was fast asleep. When she awoke,
Vasudeva is practically doing something irreligious because she is replacing his main child for protection and taking the girl child. He knew that as soon as the girl will be in the hand of Kamsa, she will be killed. But he is doing that intentionally. So, from baby conclusion, it is irrelevant why he should protect his own child and take other child to be killed. But the thing is that Vasudeva, although he is very religious, he presented all his children in the hands of, but he could not do so in case of Krishna. He broke his promise. So, what Krishna says, the devotee can do anything. Yes, finished?
When she awoke, she could not remember whether she had given birth to a male or female child. Thus ends the Bhakti Gita first word of the third chapter of Krishna, birth of Lord Krishna.
So Krishna is now resting on the lap of Maharaj Yashoda, and tomorrow Maharaj Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj will perform a great ceremony known as Nandotsava.
I want to say just a word on behalf of the brethren and for Guru Vrindavan. And at this auspicious time of the conjunction of your parents and Lord Krishna's appearance, we want to offer this temple to you and Lord.
Thank you. Thanks. That's your very effective. Now open and now for everything. Chant.
Thank you. material manifestation.